Hello and welcome to the Displaced African podcast. The Displaced African is the African immigrant's personal development blog. It can be found at www.thedisplacedafrican.com. All right. So the first question is the most important question. Like, if someone was about to, when did you come back from the States to Kenya?
December, mid-December.
And how long had you been away for?
About 9-10 years.
Somewhere. So, assuming someone was in your shoes, what advice would you give them as the most important thing to keep in mind as you're coming back 10 years later?
You know what? It really sounds strange when I say this to people, right? Home is home. That should be the first thing that should say, okay, you could do it. Because home is home. I mean, like, there's no better place to come and resettle, right? Mm-hmm. But here's the thing, is that Kenya's progressed so much. The culture shock is a little bit there, but at the same time, it kind of makes you smile each time because we've developed so much. So just do it. I mean, I can't say it any better. I just say just pack your bags and come home. But just be prepared for a little bit of culture shock. Actually, I'm saying that in a wrong way. Be prepared for a lot of culture shock, but it's a good culture shock.
What's the difference between good culture shock and bad culture shock?
You know, okay, here's the thing. The good culture shock is the fact that we've actually developed. You know, the bad culture shock is where you come back home and then you're just like, God damn it, we haven't done anything. Nothing's happened in Nairobi. The roads are still as bad as they were, like, 15 years ago. You know, that's the kind of thing where you're just like, man, can't believe we're still stuck in the same rut. Mm-hmm. But this is like a good rut where we are. I mean, like, these billboards everywhere, you know, it's amazing just to see that we didn't leave any billboards. I mean, the billboards are there, but the little tiny ones, these are like everywhere, especially on Museum Hill. It's so unbelievable, you know, advertising space all over. There's agencies, for crying out loud. I mean, like, how cool is that? You know, that's all I can say. Consumerism is going on in Kenya. That's a good kind of culture shock.
What were the hard parts of adjusting back in, like, in terms of, like, the technical itty-bitty details of day-to-day life?
Oh, can I just say this? This is so sad. The first thing that, for me, I know that it was just, like, I had to readjust myself and just say, Jesus Christ, what did you expect? Is it dust?
Wow.
It's going to be so small, but it's the dust, you know. You're not used to it, but that's one thing for me that I have to keep readjusting myself. It's just dust.
I'm
crazy, huh?
No, I'm just remembering, like, when we used to get home, we actually talk about this all the time, how our collars when we're in the West don't change color, but you could know that you're in Africa because when you get home and look at your collar, it's pitch black if you're wearing a white shirt. So, yeah, that would be huge.
Okay, you can't say pitch black. Because it's not like pitch black, you know.
Mine used to get pitch black. I'm not even exact. It used to get so brown. Yep. Mine used to get pitch black that was brown when I used to take, like, public transport. Some days it would be brown, but the days would actually be just pure black.
You know, that's the first part of, you know, being back home. It's that, guess what? It's dusty. It's home. It's the way it is. It always has been that way. I mean, for crying out loud, someone is like, hey, you know, you're in Africa. It's like, not just Africa, East Africa, Kenya, man. You know, so it's dusty.
And you alluded to this before, but was it easy to readjust after all those years?
I keep having to remind myself what I'm doing and where I am and in the process of going through everything that I do go through, like I didn't have my ID before. I didn't have my ID. I didn't have like my PIN, my NSSF number, any of those things. And you know, going into the offices and applying for them, and just the amount of time that it takes, or the way the service is in some places, it's a little bit slow. But those are the times that I'm just like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm actually coming back home, that I am actually home. Like, it's irritating. The process is slow. You know what I mean? You're used to people being efficient, fast. You know what I mean? They can just go into the computer and they'll say, okay, we'll mail the letter to you. Give it 5 working days, you know, whereas here it's just like, so come back maybe in 2 weeks. Maybe you'll have it. Maybe you won't. We just don't know. Okay, yes, so those are the things, like, for me, where the fact that it takes, like, 10 times longer than it actually would in the States, probably in the UK or in Australia, there's sometimes that I kind of kick myself because of the service. But, I don't know, it takes time, but it's a good process, like, after you've gotten everything, you know?
Do you have any tips for, like, people who, like, will have to go through that process of getting all that stuff back, like the NSSF, the PIN, the driver's license, anything, like, to make things quicker, or any words of Zen advice?
You know, the thing is that when you're applying for all these things, if you're getting your ID, if you're getting your PIN, the thing is that it actually, you would think that it would take, like, 2 weeks, because they actually tell you that it takes 2 weeks. Now, here's the deal, is that you can't get your NSSF. Before, you were able to get your NSSF with your passport. Well, because I actually applied to get my NSSF number with my passport, but it's no longer allowed. You have to get your ID, because they need to find out your location, your sub-location, your sub-sub-sub-location, okay, all those crazy details, but it's actually so vital, because you start realizing some things that are actually important to you as a person. Do you get what I'm saying? It's like an intricate part of history that you need to learn for yourself. You can't just be like, hey, yeah, I'm Linda from Nairobi. You know, it's something interesting that you learn about your father or your mother, depending on whose side you pick to come from, okay? So when you're applying for your ID, it takes not more than, I want to say, not more than an hour to actually get it, if you have all the right information with you.
Uh-huh.
Now, applying for your NSSF, they actually give you that number the same day. That if you walk in there with your ID, you get your NSSF number the same day.
Uh-huh.
So it doesn't even actually take time, where somebody would tell you it takes like 2 to 3 weeks.
Uh-huh.
Now, your PIN takes about maybe 4 or 5 working days, but you get it probably before the 5th working day, which is unbelievable.
Uh-huh.
And then if you're applying for to get your banking information, you could use your passport, but it's always best to have your ID number plus use your PIN once you finally get that.
Uh-huh.
Then you can apply for your credit cards, but it doesn't take more than a week to get all that stuff. So it's not so much of a painful process. I think it's the misconception that people actually tell you that it takes like 2 weeks. Then you start getting frustrated, but it doesn't take more than that.
So the sequence would be, go get your ID first, because that helps
ID
you get
first.
Everything else. So
ID first, then go get your PIN.
Uh-huh.
And you could get your PIN and your NSSF number on the same day. Your PIN will probably take like 4 or 5 working days before they actually mail you your PIN number.
Uh-huh.
So your NSSF number, you get it the same day. I haven't gotten my PO box. I'm still grinding and using my mom's very old PO box.
Uh-huh.
So I would really love to say that you could just go out there and apply for one and tell you the painful process of doing it, but it's sad on my behalf. I do apologize, but yeah, I'm still on my mother's bandwagon for that one.
I mean, it makes sense. If it's working, keep using it, really. I don't see any reason to change.
Well, yeah, and that's another thing is that, okay, so it's the same one from like 10,000 years ago, you know, so you're able to use it. Which probably makes more sense, you know, if your parents do have a P.O. box at first. I'm saying, okay, here's the thing about actually moving back home. I say don't give yourself like, you know, everyone wants to readjust like within 2 months. What I've basically done for myself, and at least that I've told myself, is that I've given myself a year to actually come here, try and figure out what exactly is needed. Because the same, there's some things for me where I'm just like, oh my God, people actually get tax refund back. I didn't leave that here. I didn't leave my mom getting like a paycheck from the government for paying taxes. Whereas, you know, you're actually seeing it happen here. So I'd say, okay, with everything that is going on, is that you ask your parent, hey, can I use your P.O. box for now until I finally get myself one? You know, and don't push yourself too hard to readjusting back home. Or don't kick yourself too much about it. But like I said, the important ones to have are your ID, your driver's license. Once you have your ID, I think everything else kind of falls into place easily. But your P.O. box, man, jump on your parents. That's what they're there for. Use them.
Do you speak to like other people who've like come back from other countries and stuff?
Yes, I do, and it's been interesting. It's there's some people that I speak to who have completely just taken Nairobi over. You know, it's like a good thing to see happen. And there's still some people who are lagging behind in readjusting to Kenya or finding jobs. I say that if you talk to them, the funny thing is that we all go through the same experiences, which is why I keep saying, you know, thank God for the bloody displaced African. You know what I mean? Because that
thank you.
Because those experiences kind of make it so worthwhile, because you're like, oh shit, I can relate to that. So when you talk to people who've like lived in London, or friends of mine who've lived in London, who've lived in the States, we're all going through the same thing. Maybe some a little bit slower, a little bit faster than others. And with that, I mean like readjusting, you know. It's like, hey, so how's everything going for you? Oh man, I still haven't gotten a job. And it's like, oh shit. Yeah, sorry about that. So have you been looking? Or, you know, and you start figuring out how you're going to help each other.
Yep.
Like, what can I do to help you? And that's basically something that constantly happens. You're not going to see it happen. I mean, it happens, yeah, with Kenyans who've been here for the longest time. But I think more so about helping the people who've been in the States more than the people who've actually lived out here. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you feel a greater sense of community.
Yeah, is that I keep saying, well, so how am I going to help this person? How can I help this person?
All right. To segue, what about...
Continue. What was that?
Continue.
No, I said, then I still haven't figured out, like, the best ways to help them out, but I keep thinking if I'm one step ahead of them, or if they're a step ahead of me, then, you know, we kind of rub off of an information process, you know. It's like, hey, you know, I know this guy who knows this guy who can get you this, you know what I mean? And that's how I got my ID. You know, it's like, I know this guy who knows this guy who can take you down to get your ID, but you need this and this and this, and this is all the information that you need. So it kind of works at the end of the day.
Okay. So get a guy to get you the ID, and everything will roll from there.
But it's not the hookup type of a deal. You have to go out there to get it. But it's always like, it's somebody who knows somebody who can take you somewhere. And it's the somewhere is like, which sublocation are you going to? Do you know what I mean? Like, are you getting your ID from Kibera area, or are you getting your ID from Mathare? You know, it's somebody who can take you there, who knows the process, who can actually guide you through the process. Okay, this is, like I told you, you know, they look for your sublocation, you know, your sublocation, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's stuff that you don't understand, but this is somebody who can actually, who knows what the process is. And they'll say, okay, when you're talking to your mom, ask them for this. And when you're talking to her, ask her about this and this and this and that. You know what I mean? Or just get a copy of her ID.
Yeah.
And so they're able to help you out that way.
Okay. And what's the job market like? Like, since clearly you have a job, so, like, any tips there?
Can I say that you should jump online and start looking now?
Uh-huh.
I always say that it's better to give yourself a rough idea. I mean, I know a lot of people who say, yeah, but they don't post all their jobs online. But there's no better way to start looking at companies. Like, if you want to work for Safaricom, or if you want to work for Celtel, or if you want to work for AAR, or if you want to work for... Most of the companies right now are based online. So the best thing to do is say, okay, I want to do marketing within the... Say you've got more experience in the healthcare industry, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Start looking, you know, maybe if you ask your parents, okay, so what are the healthcare providers that are in Kenya? Or what's in Kenya that you feel as, you know, as your parent or as your cousin? Like, pick people that you know that you can actually talk to or relate with. Do you know what I'm saying? And then ask them for the names of the companies, and you go online and you start looking through what they have. If you find a PO box, dude, start sending your resume in. There's nothing wrong with doing that, because by the time you get here, they'll be like, yeah, we found a resume here. Oh, this is you. You sent it from the UK. Oh, yeah, we remember. We got this. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Because you don't see a lot of people doing that. But I say start taking the initiative right now. Research what industry you're trying to get into. Start sending your resume. It doesn't really hurt. Look for a PO box. Ask your parents to find a PO box. All they have to do is, like, you know, know somebody who knows somebody. There's numbers listed everywhere, you know.
Yeah.
It's Coca-Cola Africa / Kenya online. You know, it's just a matter of looking, research, and look. But the job market, trust me, there are jobs, man. In Kenya, there are jobs. And I'll tell you what, there's no better time to come back home than right now.
Good plug for Kenya. So is that how the capital deal happened?
The capital deal for me happened, it was a little bit crazy because I was doing voiceovers, and I kind of sent them in to Simoina. She was the director of programming then. And I said, hey, check this out. You know, I've been doing voiceovers, so if you want voiceovers done for you guys, you know, just let me know. And I was doing them for a radio station in L.A. Mm-hmm. And so she said, okay, you know, and she sent me one voiceover to do for her. And she said, oh, by the way, you know, you should think about maybe putting together a demo. And I was like, yeah, demo, sure. Demo, memo, you know. And in my head, I'm thinking, what the hell is a demo? A demo for what? I've already sent you a voiceover. You can somewhat hear what my voice sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked one of the producers at this radio station, it was K-Day, actually, the radio station is K-Day,
mm-hmm.
and I asked one of the producers there, Eric, I said, hey, Eric, what the hell is a demo, and, like, how do we do a demo? And, you know, I went into the studio with him, I think it was, like, on a Saturday or Sunday morning, and... You know, he's like, okay, this is what you need to do. You need to research the songs that you want. You have to have, like, a topic to talk about. You know, so you have to have your intro and your outro, you know, your station ID, blah, blah, blah. So it's just like, shit, that's a lot of work. I don't even know if I really want to do a demo. You know, you're thinking, you're like, oh, I'm just going to go and wing it. You know what I mean? Hey, yep. You know, this is Linda, Capital FM, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, nah, it sounds like crap. he kind of, you know, he made me listen to Capital FM to figure out, like, what their hot stuff was, and to keep listening to them, because I was listening to them before, but this time I wasn't listening, like, for the music or for, like, the vital information. I was listening, like, okay, how do they do their intros and their outros? What exactly are they talking about? What do their adverts sound like? And those are the things that I needed to try and figure out and then use into my demo. And so I did a demo, thanks to Eric, and sent it in, and I guess they liked it, and I got a job offer. And I was very happy that I had something to go to or to come home for.
Yeah.
And so I just decided, hey, pack it up and let's do it. Got to try it.
Yeah. So use the internet to establish relationships. That's the main thing that is, that seems to, like, for the job market, like, that's a very good way. While you're still in the West, just start resumes, talking to people, sending them stuff, doing free service if you can. That seems to be, like, the key way, like, to get jobs in an information industry anyway.
In the information industry, but I think, I don't think it's limited to just the information industry. Do you know what I mean? I think that if you have somebody out here that you completely trust and that can actually help you, that can take maybe half an hour out of a whole day to sit down and say, okay, I'm going to look for the numbers for whatever it is that you're looking for, whichever companies that would be vital for you and your background, whatever you've been serving or doing in whichever country you are in, if they're able just to do that for you, get you phone numbers, email addresses, the research is just up to you. Plus, you know, you've got creativity. You know what I mean? The fact that you've been out in the States or in Australia and you're coming back home, trust me, you have something to offer. You do. So don't ever get... Don't let anyone ever tell you that you know, it's completely different. No. One small little thing could set the whole industry apart, and you're seeing it with so many people, like, you know, the head of distribution of Coca-Cola, man. The guy used to be in Boston. I don't know. He's got, like, a really funky title. So I don't know. He's, like, the director of something, distribution, blah, 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 ends in Coca-Cola. Mm. You know, he used to be in Boston. You know what I mean? There's so many people who are doing so well. And I say that Kenya, the industry, is so, and I say it's limitless. So I just feel that there's a lot to do in Kenya, and there still is more. There's room for growth. So just do it.
Okay.
Research a little bit and bring your bright ideas and bring them back home, because there's room for it.
Okay. I'll ask the last question. Do you have, like, any stories about, like, when you first came in that really hit it home, like, oh my God, I am back home. I'm no longer in the States.
I do have one, but then I think that one would be offensive, so we're going to skip that one.
No, you can... I mean, this is all African people. I don't think it would really offend, because everyone's probably gone through it or talked about it. We'll just put an explicit rating at the beginning of it, then we'll be done with that.
Okay, well, you know, there is nothing like, you know that makwapa smell?
The smell of sweat.
You know that nice armpit.
Yes.
Marinated in the heat for hours. But I think that was the one thing where I was just like, holy guacamole, I'm back home. I mean, I said, like, 2 seconds, you're like, hey, great to smell the sweat. And then after that, it's just like, Jesus Christ, whatever happened to your underarm deodorant? You know? But that's all I can say. That just, it kind of hit home in a.
Soon after the phone was disconnected, let me just thank Linda yet again for taking the time in the middle of the night. I'm sorry for waking you up, but thank you so much for sharing this information. For those of you who might be listening to this, please go visit www.thedisplacedafrican.com. Go to Displaced African Podcast and please leave a comment. What I want to do is, below this post, I want to build, I want more information. If any of you have repatriated to Africa or have any tips on how to repatriate to Africa or relocate to Africa after living abroad, please leave some tips down below. Any feedback, any comments, any questions, anything, you can come to www.thedisplacedafrican.com or just check out Capital FM. Linda can be found on the show Urban Nights. So with that, I wish you a fantastic, fantastic day, night, evening, whatever it is you're having. This is Mwangi here. Goodbye. This has been the Displaced African Podcast. The Displaced African is the African immigrant's personal development blog. You can find it at www.thedisplacedafrican.com.